Galatians chapter 4, we're in the section 21 through 31. Verse 21, tell me, you desiring to be under law, are you not hearing the law? For it has been written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid or the slave woman, and the other by or through the free woman. But the one who was from out of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but the one who is born from the free woman through promise. Which things are being allegorized? For these are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which produces or gives birth to bondage or slavery, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to or corresponds to Jerusalem, that is the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery, that is slaving with her children. But Jerusalem, which is from above, which is mother of all of us. For it has been written, celebrate, O barren one, the one who is not giving birth. Break out and shout, you who are not travailing. For the children, for the many children of the desolate, are more than the one who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born according to the flesh was persecuting him that was born according to the Spirit, even so now. Nevertheless, what says the Scriptures? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children from out of the bondwoman or slave woman, but from out of the free woman. Both our texts in Galatians as well as Romans are running parallel. We're in the subject of justification by faith and by faith alone. It is a major problem back then in Paul's day as it is now. There are always those who profess to believe that want to add to what God has promised and that what is given to us by faith. And I emphasize by faith alone. We had at the beginning of this chapter on the doctrine of justification the portrayal of common circumstances in life. That is, we have the heir, the inheritor, who is a minor. He has not come of age to enter into the promises and the inheritance that is for him. And yet at the same time, when he does become of age, he will inherit all things, but until then, he is treated just like the servants are. There are administrators over him, and there are tutors over him that are guiding him that he must obey. But when he comes of age to become the inheritor, then they must obey him. And so it is with under the law. We are under the law, the Jews especially, under the law until Christ comes. When a person receives Christ, they become of age. They become complete. In verses 8 through 20, Paul presented seven positions that they were in, seven conditions, if you will, which was the fruit of the fact that their relationship with him had changed, so he knew something was wrong. They were willing to gouge out their own eyes and give them to Paul if they were able to, because his eyesight was so bad, and they had such compassion and sympathy for him that they were ready to surrender their own eyes for him. And now after the Judaizers have come in, the legalists, they are now approaching Paul as an enemy. He preaches that gospel of grace. And the Judaizers are coming in saying, if you're a Christian, if you receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah, then you must also keep the law, the Jewish law of the Old Testament. So he presents seven positions that they are in that denote that they have swerved from the path of the gospel of grace. Last week we began in chapter 4, verse 21, Paul's personal challenge to them. And there are 13 points in this section. The first one is in verse 21. He says he wants them to take something into consideration. He says, tell me, those desiring to be under law, are you not hearing the law? So he says, consider this. If you want to be under the law, do you know what the law says? Are you sure you want to be under the law? Because the law does not produce life. It was never meant to produce salvation. As we've been studying, it was only given by God to bring conviction of sin, period. In chapter 3 of Galatians, we saw that the law was our jailer, kept us locked up until faith would come, and then we would be set free. And after faith has come, we are no longer under this tutor, under this person over us. And so he says, I want you to take in consideration if that's your choice, because under the law, there is no life. No chance of salvation, just judgment and condemnation. So he says, because the law presents two circumstances, verse 22. For it is written, Abraham had two sons. We know that it is Ishmael and Isaac. One from out of the bond or slave woman, and one from out of the free woman. Ishmael, born from out of the slave woman, is recorded in Genesis 16, 1 through 16, and Isaac, Genesis 21, 1 to 7. And we went over the story of these two. The law now is separating. There are two mothers. There are two children. There's only one father. That's Abraham. If you remember, Sarah could not bear children. And this was many years after God gave the promise that she would bear children. And so she figures that she is the one of the two that cannot bear, so she had Abraham go into her handmaid or slave woman in order to have a child, and Abraham presents Ishmael as God's promised child. God says, no, that's not the promised child. It was produced by you. The promise is produced by God himself. So he says the law presents circumstances that there are two children, two different kinds of children. In verse 23, these two children produce categories. He says, but the one who is from out of the slave woman is according to the flesh, and has been born according to the flesh, and the one who is from out of the free woman has been born through promise. Now this is a major, major teaching. And it's found all the way through the scriptures, and we even struggle with the problem with it today, is that man, the human being, in his own human effort, cannot fulfill the promises of God. And yet we still come to one another and say, what are you doing for the kingdom? Well, I hope nothing, because I can't do anything for the kingdom. It's God through me. It's God's Spirit. Well, what are you doing for the Great Commission? I don't know. What did the early apostles do? It was God through them. They didn't do anything. In fact, they didn't even know what they were doing, and that's what we impressed upon you as we've been going through Acts on Thursday night. They had no idea what they were doing. It was the Holy Spirit through them. They made no plans. They had no committees. They just Walk with the Lord. And if the Lord wants something done, if he says, here's what I want you to do, then that's what he's going to do. Our problem is that God waits. With Abraham, it was many, many years. And some 25 to 30 years before God kept his promise. But in the meantime, Abraham and Sarah were waiting. They're both getting older in age, and they know that they've reached a point where they can no longer bear children. So God's promise cannot be fulfilled, right? So he goes into Hagar, and they have a son. There he is. And God says no. He was produced according to your own motivations and your own efforts. When God produces according to promise, it is done by his Spirit in his time, not by man. And our problem is, and I know that many have been told this by some of the faith teachers, that faith is acting on things now. It's not waiting on the Lord. Sometimes it takes years. We even know from Peter's writings that the prophets from of old, when they prophesied and served the Lord, they realized that what they were prophesying and doing wasn't even for them. It's for us coming in the future. It could be that what I do now or what you do now and what the Lord does through us now, it might be for the next generation. We might not even see it now. So one is according to the flesh, and one is through promise. You cannot mix the two. You cannot mix the two. These categories, the slave woman, the one born out of the slave woman, has been born according to the flesh, and the one who has been born from out of the free woman has been born through promise. Verse 24, this produces two covenants. Two covenants, which are being allegorized. So that is to say that each one of these sons and their circumstances represent two covenants. For they are two covenants. One covenant, on the one hand, is from Mount Sinai and has been born into slavery. So everybody that has been born from the slave woman is born into slavery, period. Spiritual slavery. They're not born into freedom. And he says it's represented by, and this is Hagar, that's the handmaid or the slave woman, for Mount Sinai is Hagar. Now, even to this day, the Samaritans, and you've probably heard that word over the years, a Samaritan is somebody that is half Jewish and half Gentile. And the Jews despised the Samaritans. They considered them half-breeds, unclean, wouldn't even walk on their dirt. They would be unclean. The Samaritans, there's not many of them left that actually worship. From what I understand, there is one high priest that has one of three keys, and you have to get these three people together to unlock the church because they don't trust each other. But they're dying off, these religious Samaritans that say that they are Abraham's children. They follow the Torah, the Old Testament, not the rest of the Old Testament, just the law. And they have this church, and three of them have to be there at the same time to unlock the doors, three separate locks. Like I say, there's not many of them, but they worship at the foot of Mount Sinai, because that's where God gave the children of Israel the law. So the Samaritan says Mount Sinai is where you need to worship. And they put a claim on Abraham as their father. Well, he is. But their descendancy comes according to slavery and according to the flesh. And it's being allegorized to represent somebody who is physically born into a certain situation, born under the law, and that law is slavery. If a Hebrew or Jewish person were to come up to me as soon as we're through reading this, and they were to say, I was born a Hebrew and born a Jew, I would have to, what does that mean to me? I would say, you're born into slavery. You're not set free yet. You're under the law. Everything you do is according to the flesh. And you are not set free. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is through Isaac. And everybody who is from the seed of Abraham and by faith, and we're going to learn later that Abraham is the father of those who believe. Because Abraham is presented as Abraham's faith is the same faith that everybody has that belongs to Christ. Jesus said in John 8:56 that Abraham looked forward to my day and saw it. So he looked forward to the coming of Christ by faith. We look back by faith at what Christ has already done. And so the Bible's presenting the fact that Abraham's faith is the same as ours. But it has to be a certain kind of faith. There are several different kinds. For one, in order to be according to Abraham, remember the point was made that when Abraham received the promise from God, he was still a Gentile. There were no Jews at all. Also, there was no law. He received the promise from God 430 years before the law was even given. So he was a Gentile. There was no law, and he was not circumcised. All the elements that Jews say that you have to experience in order to be part or under the law, which means in order to be saved. And so they're bringing up this point. If you, in order to have the same faith that Abraham had, it's before the law, before ceremonial rituals, before he was even Jewish. It has nothing to do with Jewish. And the icing on the cake, and you wonder why Hebrew people get mad, the icing on the cake is that the writer of the book of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a Gentile. He was both priest and king of Salem. And Abraham tithed this king. We don't know anything about him. He's introduced to us in the book of Genesis. But the Lord's priesthood is according to the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron from the Old Testament. Boy, that makes him mad. It's in the scriptures, though. Psalm 110, verse 1. That his Messiah comes, it will be according to the order of Melchizedek. So even the Lord's priesthood is according to the Gentiles. It's a Gentile system. All those who are saved, both Jew and Gentile, it's from the same faith that Abraham exhibited, and he is being brought, presented to us to show us, here's what faith is like. Before the law, before ceremonial rituals, before even Hebrew or Jewish, just him and God. And it says about Abraham, when God told him, I'm giving you the promise, it says, I believe you. And it showed that he believed because he left his homeland, this pagan people and a pagan lifestyle. He left his homeland and went to a land that God said will be for his descendants. Now, what is interesting is that Abraham dwelt in tents when he was finally got to Canaan. He dwelt in tents and never owned any property. He didn't even get to own anything there. The only parcel that he purchased was a plot for him to be buried in, and Sarah and the one other family member buried there. But that's, Isaac had to repurchase the property in order to show reverence to those buried there. But he comes in the land of promise, and you think, okay, here's the land of promise. Here's the land that God has promised to me. But he didn't own anything. He dwelt in tents. Hebrews 11 says, because by faith he was looking for a city that is from above, a spiritual city, knowing that it was just temporary. So hopefully we can understand the line of thinking. By faith, through Isaac, means that God promises us salvation because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I promise you salvation. Faith is not earning salvation. Faith is receiving salvation. It's a gift. What's it based on? The complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, how about believing plus something else, like baptism? Baptism's important. But you're adding to it. It's just faith. And as we go through this, we're comparing our faith to Abraham's faith. Are we in bondage or are we free? We're not free to do whatever we wish, but what covenant are we of? If it's strictly by grace, grace means favor, that God says, I'm gracing you with this promise. All you need to do is receive it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to do any religious rituals. You could be anywhere at any time. You don't have to come up the aisle of the church and pray at the altar or kick it or do anything. And you can be anywhere. So this is by grace, through faith, and by faith alone, period. Nothing more. When we try to add to it, we're saying that Christ's death was not sufficient. And that's the point he's trying to make. You cannot mix faith and works. You cannot mix it at all. Because once it becomes works, we've already been introduced to the fact that then it becomes a debt. If I keep the law, I've got something coming to me. I've earned it. God doesn't owe us anything. Of course, you don't want what we deserve. You don't want what's waiting for us. And God says, just believe. Just believe God. And it'll show that you believe God because you'll be doing whatever he wants you to do. So we saw the covenants. We've seen the contrast between these. One is Mount Sinai, and everybody from Mount Sinai has been born into slavery, which is Hagar, for Hagar is Mount Sinai. She represents Mount Sinai. And it is in Arabia. And then sixthly, that which is corresponding to Jerusalem, and is corresponding to the present-day Jerusalem. The present-day Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, represents the law, not grace and faith, the law. It is present-day Jerusalem, and she is slaving with her children. She's in slavery. Slavery to the law. In slavery to the condemnation and punishment of the law. Why would they want to do that? Well, you got to earn your way. If you ever sit down sometime and do research in Jewish history, you'll find that the Jews actually used Abraham, the father of their faith, and said his faith was works, and that he worked at it. That's something that James in James chapter 2 addressed, is they worked at their faith. Does that sound familiar? People today are told, work at your faith. Hey, how do you work at your faith? If it's your faith, it isn't any good. We'll see in the second hour in the book of Romans that Abraham was empowered by faith. Empowered by faith. Most people don't realize that the Bible teaches that everything is given to us by God, even faith. Talking this week to some about the love of Christ. I work every day. Not quite have it down yet. Working hard at the love of Christ. Loving everybody. Wrong love. Agape is produced by the Holy Spirit. I don't have any spiritual concern for anybody else. Christ gives me that concern. What I see and sense is my own human reaction. What other people see and sense, mostly, is my human reaction toward them. But God's Spirit in me and through me is performing God's love. And those that know me well, that are close to me, had to say amen one time when a fellow told me I didn't have love. I said, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. You're still alive. Person's made me so mad that if I wasn't saved, I'd be in jail. You saw me get angry, but you're still alive. That proves I'm saved. So the condition corresponding to the present-day Jerusalem, the condition is that she is slaving with her children. Slaving away at keeping the law. Slaving away at keeping the rules. How about the character of heavenly Jerusalem? But the Jerusalem which is from above is free, which is mother of all of us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 and 22 tell us that even Abraham, as we mentioned earlier, was passing through living in tents, looking for the heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly Jerusalem. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Not down here. In the human we are, hopefully, to some country, someplace. But in reality, we're just passing through and we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's where our citizenship is. It's in the heavenly Jerusalem. Not even in the earthly Jerusalem. Verse 27, in context, for it has been written, celebrate, O barren one, who is not bearing or giving birth to children. Shout out, reach out, you who are not having birth pains. Because many are the children of the desolate rather than the one having the husband. So Abraham and Sarah was barren. And so the quote from Isaiah 54:1 says that she should rejoice and celebrate that she's barren. Because she is more blessed than the one who has a husband and many children, in an allegorical sense. Abraham and Sarah saying, we have the promises of God and we have no kids. That's what blows my mind. If you go back to Genesis chapter 15, God says, I promise you, you will bear a son. At that time, there's no son. There's no possibility of a son. And God says, go outside, look up at the stars of heaven. As the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea, so shall your descendants be. What do you think, Sarah? We're going to find out that the promise came true when he was 99 years old. Actually, 100, the text tells us, and she's 90. And God says, you are blessed because all the human ability to produce God's promises are now gone. Your virility is dead. You can't produce children. So God steps in and by promise, he produces Isaac. And through Isaac, the promise comes. So when all things look bleak, even for the believer, and take note as a side note, as we do study the scriptures together, we study how God works with his people. Many, many times, God has a plan and a purpose for which he wants to use us for. There are probably many of them, but in particular. And he waits until we are in a circumstance, a condition, to where there isn't any possible way we could do it ourselves. So that God, everybody would say, how'd you do that? It was the Lord. Not human effort. Many times we have to wait 20, 30, 40 years until the flesh starts slowing down. Until we arrive at a point where we get out there and do all the stuff we're going to do that God says don't do, but we get out there and do it all. But then there comes a point in our life when we go, you know, I'm just tired. Flesh is tired. Then you become more focused on what goes on in your brain rather than what's going on in the world. You like to sit and think and read, and all of a sudden you start understanding some things of the Lord that you've never understood before because he's been waiting. And then as we get older and the physical starts slowing down and the body parts start wearing out, he moves through us. Because the human element is no longer able to produce what we used to and the effort that we used to. That way God can get the glory. He desires yielded vessels. But in our youth, we want too much of the world. And so God waits. He works things out in our life. He deals with us. Continues to move and to transform and to change and to convict. But he's prepping us for something later. We'll pick up at verse 28 for next time. The second hour, we will continue our study about Abraham and justification by faith in the book of Romans. Next week, the first hour, we will take Galatians. The second hour will be our Christmas service together. So today will be Romans, and next week, it'll be a surprise. Title of the message next week is, do you have mistletoe? Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that parses and divides out for us in categories that which is according to man and that which is according to God. Help us to understand that there isn't anything in the human effort that can glorify God as good as it might accomplish. Because the things of Christ are spiritual, and the things of Christ are produced by the Spirit of Christ. Help us to see that you are desiring submitted vessels, broken vessels, so that your Spirit might manifest yourself in us and through us for your glory. But help us also to see the difference, to know the difference between the flesh and between the Spirit. We don't get that much in our day, as many, many churches present that Christian is everything about you, your flesh, your mind, your spirit. But help us to see from your word that is not true. That only yielded vessels are used by Christ. That you desire us to present our bodies as living sacrifices so that you might work out your will in us. We pray by your Spirit you would help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. Amen.